Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Our lesson is from the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew and the first 6 verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know, we're living in a time that is called a time of the explosion of information. There are a lot of very interesting facts in the world and about the world that we can come to know. For instance, did you know that Sir John Lubbock was an English scientist? You know that, Lynn? Did you know that the Nile River is 4,000 miles long? You school teachers know that, but most of us don't. Did you know that the square root of 49 is 7? Now, isn't that marvelous? Did you know that April the 15th is the last day you've got to pay your taxes? Now, that got a response. Did you know that most people believe the United States Armed Forces are sufficiently capable to protect our nation from invaders? Now, all of these are facts. Some of these may sound rather strange coming from the pulpit. All of them, rather. But some of them mean something to you. Some of them, you couldn't care less. For instance, who cares about Sir John Lubbock? I just happened to pick that name up out of an encyclopedia. I don't care anything about him either. And who cares about the length of the Nile River? Oh, it might be an interesting thing to know, but it really doesn't have much to do with your day-to-day life, does it? Or all the mathematical facts that you could come to know. Now, the deadline of April 15th, you care about that. And you care about whether or not our armed forces are sufficiently capable to protect us from a potential enemy. And what makes some of these facts meaningful and others meaning less, as far as you're concerned, is how they affect you. It's to what extent they will have a bearing on your own individual life. Is not that true? We all know that the Bible is the Word of God, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, Paul tells us. Most of us here, I trust, accept that. And the Bible reveals to us and tells us of a great number of facts. And among them, it tells us about one named Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Christ, and how he left heaven and came to this earth, how he lived a perfect life, how he performed the miracles, the things that he taught, the things that he did. It tells us about his death on the cross, how he was buried, but it also tells us about how the third day he arose from the dead, of which we have just read. And his coming forth from that tomb preceded his ascension into heaven, where he took his place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, seated at the right hand of God. The question I'm asking of you, dear listener, this morning, what does the fact of the resurrection mean to you? Now, it may mean one thing for some people and some things, something for some other people, but I'm asking you now to think about, what does the resurrection mean to you? It has a meaning. We hope that the real meaning is that which it means to each of us. But what does it mean to you? To a lot of people, it doesn't mean anything. And the reason it doesn't mean anything is because they don't believe it. They think that it means nothing. Now, they're wrong about that. It has a great meaning, even though they don't believe it. But they don't believe the Bible. To them, the Bible is just a book or full of superstitions and fairy tales and fables and all of that. Of course, the resurrection eventually will have a significant meaning upon everybody. But a lot of people today, it has no meaning for them, whatever. They don't care one way or another. Now, there are some that the resurrection means an annual celebration that is called Easter. And that's the time that they go to church, probably for the first time in the year, and maybe the only time in the year, or one of the two or three times in a year that they go. To others, the time of Easter will mean new clothes, the coming of the spring season, and dressing up, and parading their possessions, and a lot of people, it means good business because it is a commercial time, very much so now. And to others, it means parties and celebrations and social functions and things like that. To a lot of other people, it means vacation time, a holiday, take a trip. And that's about all that Easter and the resurrection that it's supposed to denote, that's about all it means to them. On the other hand, there are people, and they are among our acquaintances, all of us, to them, Easter is a reminder of the resurrection of Christ. And they're very honest. They're very sincere in that belief. So much so that they will make some special overtures to try to commemorate this event on that day. That's called Easter. And there will be musical programs of a religious nature. They'll have extra prayer meeting times. They'll come to the period of the end of the Lent observance. They'll have religious services of all sorts. And more than any other time in the course of the year, they are impressed with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's about the only time of the year that they commemorate the fact of the resurrection of Christ. They fail to note that the resurrection is not something that's just for an annual celebration. We acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ every week. In fact, we acknowledge it in the way that we live our lives. Friend, we need to understand that this thing called Easter is without Bible authority. There's nothing, and that is significant to those who respect the Bible, because the things that we do are to be by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3:17. And when we read about Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and Lent and Palm Sunday and Easter and all of that, let's understand there's nothing whatsoever in the Scripture pertaining to those kind of observances and designations. And they're outside of the pale of New Testament Christianity. And we do not doubt the sincerity of all people who involve themselves and engage themselves in those special celebrations. But sincerity is one thing, and upholding the truth is something else. Following after the doctrines and the ways and designations and festivities of men as if they come from God is indeed wrong. Actually, the resurrection of Christ is noted in the affairs that we live day by day, and with a special celebration of it each first day of the week. Are you talking about the Lord's Supper? Yes. I thought the Lord's Supper was a notation of His death and burial, of His body and His blood. Yes, but there's something else that is implied in the observance of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me." Notice. "For as oft as ye drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Now, dear friend, that implies the Lord didn't stay in the tomb. That implies that though killed, He was raised. He ascended. He will come again. You see, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of Christ with an emphasis, to be sure, upon His sacrifice. But when you proclaim Christ, you proclaim everything that pertains to Christ. And that includes the fact that He was raised from the dead, because this is to be done till He comes again. Therefore, Christians are expected and Christians are privileged to honor Christ and remember the resurrection of Christ every first day of the week. And friend, I intend no arrogance or impertinence whatsoever when I say to you that this thing called Easter, of which many will make a great to-do without biblical authority and according to the doctrines and traditions of men, it has no significance to me whatsoever. Not any whatsoever. And that's because it's just simply outside of New Testament revelation. That's all. Now, this does not mean that the resurrection has no meaning. It certainly does. But Easter, the man-made celebration of it, has no meaning. There's no biblical connection with it. And Christians are not so presumptuous as to try to create one, as if God left out something He should have put in. This does not mean at all any disrespect toward the resurrection. Not at all. It has a meaning. In fact, those who are observers, who observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, appreciate it far more than those that will come along here with some man-made annual celebration that takes note of it. But the meaning of the resurrection is far greater than most expect and most know, whether they're aware of it or not. What does it mean? Well, one thing that it means, dear people, is in John 5, verse 28 and 29, that we all someday shall be raised from the dead. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We're all going to live, we're all going to face physical death, we're all going to be raised, and we're all going to be judged. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ shows that there is the resurrection, and we need to be aware of that. It emphasizes that this life is not all that there is to us. There is life beyond the grave. Now, I know that that's a point in controversy among many people. Even many religious people have come to deny the fact that there is a life beyond this. But the resurrection of Christ underscores that fact. It teaches us somewhat concerning our own nature, that we're not just physical and fleshly, but we are spiritual. What else does it mean? What does it mean to you? This is what it should mean. The resurrection of Jesus Christ should mean to you that you now know and have evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Romans 1 and verse 4, Paul said that Christ was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. That's what His resurrection said to all mankind. He claimed to be the Son of God. He provided evidences throughout His perfect life that He was the Son of God. And the climatic evidence that God has given to mankind that He was who He claimed to be was the fact that though He died, He was raised from the dead. And being the Son of God, therefore, is very significant that He is our Savior, and He is the only Savior. It means that man is condemned apart from Jesus Christ, but man's sins can be forgiven because of Him. It means we have a guide, a perfect example and guide and rule and authority by which to walk. It means that when this life is over, we shall give an account for how we spend it, have spent it. It means that the church that the Lord established, He being the foundation of it and the head of it, is significant. It's not something just optional. It's not something that you can either take or leave with equal benefit. It means that His teaching is authoritative and is divine, and we must submit ourselves to it. It means that we must ask ourselves each day that we live, what would Christ have me to do because of who He is, His identity proven by the fact that He arose from the dead. That's what the resurrection means. And that's what it should mean to me, and that's what it should mean to you. It means, dear people, that those who are faithful in their fellowship of Christ have a purpose in life, have a goal in life, and we can have that hope for a home in heaven with God forever and forever and forever and forever. It means that because of the resurrection of Christ, that even death, the last enemy, shall be overcome. And those who are the faithful disciples of Christ will enjoy that victory because of the Christ. And without the resurrection of Christ, there's really nothing in this life that you can point to that has any eternal value. For it'll all be over once we're in the grave. It means there's no church, there's no heaven, there's no hope, there's no anything of eternal value. If Jesus is not the Christ, and if He has not been raised from the dead. Now, I think it's appropriate that we bring these things to our attention because the nation generally, a lot of religious people, already embarking once again, as is the annual occasion, leading up to the great celebration, I believe in April, of that which is called Easter. And we need to keep our understanding clear because not knowing the truth, we can accept error and begin to follow the ways of men, and to the point that what the Bible has to say is no longer the authority by which we go. You see, the resurrection means far more than first meets the mind's eye. The resurrection means that after our time is done here in this life, there is the eternity. And we can be with God. And God has promised us a home with Him in heaven. That's what the resurrection means. Regardless of your attitude toward it, Jesus Christ did come forth from the grave, whether you believe it or not. But whether you believe it or not will have a great determination of how you live your life. You can't tell me that people thought that this life is all that there is and nothing more, that they would be as disciplined, as moral, as they ought to be, as that person who knows, I have a way to live, a purpose in life, I have a standard to uphold, I have an accountability before God. It affects how you conduct your life every day. That's the significance of the resurrection of Christ, among other things. And it means that on that last day, and when Christ comes that last day, there will be the resurrection. The real full impact and significance is going to come upon us. In John, the 11th chapter, when Jesus went to the tomb of a friend named Lazarus, there he was met by Lazarus' sisters. One of them had complained that if the Lord had gotten there, maybe her brother had not died. But Jesus just simply told her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Well, Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, here's the significance of the resurrection, dear listener. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Then he asked this question, "Believest thou this?" I believe, and I would be correct in assuming that nearly everyone here does believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God, does believe Christ to be the Son of God, and therefore you are convinced and convicted of the reality and the factualness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because all the spiritual blessings that God has provided for me and for you rest upon that truth. You remove that truth, you remove the underpinning of His claim to be our Savior and the Son of God. Do you really believe that Jesus is the Christ? If you believe in the resurrection, you should believe that fact, because that's the evidence God gave that He is. But what does the resurrection really mean to you? I don't want to be ugly in saying this, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ, should you not come to Christ, will mean an eternal hell for you. Do you believe that? Now, some folks don't. They don't think it makes any difference. They think everybody, regardless of what they believe, is going to be all right anyway, just as long as they're honest and sincere. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that sort of thing. Nothing even akin to it. It makes a difference what you believe. It makes a difference what you do. It makes a difference what you practice. It makes a difference how you worship. You may think all is well, but if it's not according to the truth, it isn't well. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ calls upon you to follow Christ, but you follow Christ His way, not your way or somebody else's way. And that's a truth that a lot of people have a difficult time to accept. Difficult though it may be, friend, it's just that way. The resurrection of Jesus Christ should mean to you that you believe that He's the Son of God, and believe it to such an extent you will obey what He says. Not only in coming to Him through repentance, confession, and baptism, but in living a Christ-like life every day that you live. That's the meaning of the resurrection of Christ. What does the resurrection mean to you? It should mean what it means. And if we have to adjust our thinking and make it fit according to the Bible, then pray let us adjust our thinking and do so quickly. Because we're not going to be here forever. And in that day and that morn when we are raised, we will see the real significance of the resurrection of Christ. People won't be asking, "Won't you go to church Easter? What did you give up for Lent?" I heard the other day one fellow said he gave up for Lent. He gave up Lent for Lent. I think that's the best thing to give up. The whole thing. This is a little side angle here I didn't intend to bring. Did you see, as you usually do every year, the carryings on at the New Orleans Mardi Gras? On Fat Tuesday? Now, I'm not getting personal when I talk about Fat Tuesday, and some of us are fat all week long. But Fat Tuesday, what is Fat Tuesday? That's when you take your last fling in everything you want to do and indulge yourself to the hilt. Because tomorrow, you start Lent season. Such hip. Hypocrisy and blasphemy against things that are righteous. And it's all tied up with this thing of men's ideas of the resurrection of Christ. Be not deceived thereby, my dear listener. But glory in the fact that though Christ died, He conquered death and He came forth from the grave and He says to one and all, come unto me. If the resurrection means for you what God intends it to mean, you will come to Christ. You won't hesitate. You will come to Him. Believing, repenting, confessing, obey Him in baptism to rise and walk in the newness of life, a new creature. A spiritual resurrection for you and a new birth. But then to serve God faithfully and someday to go home and be with the raised Lord forever and ever. If you are subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, we would plead with you to take advantage of this opportunity and come to our Lord.